Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message. We have three key points that we shared with you. One, God, who is love, created man in his image. You were created in the image of God. You got to know that. Step one. Number two, man was created to enjoy God.
That's good. You like that word.
I love that word, enjoy, because it's love. Man was created to enjoy God, enjoy fellowship with God, and to work together with God to bring about his will in the earth. Very important. Mm-hmm. And the third point was the New Testament church is love's plan, the Father's plan, to spread his salvation into the world today. So those are our three key points, and I'm going to start with a definition of the word plan, P-L-A-N, okay? Here's what plan means, love's plan. It's a detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. Right here, right? A detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. It's an intention or decision about what one is going to do. Right here. The verb plan means to decide on and arrange in advance. Oh, this is all Jesus right here.
That's good.
Now, this word plan, it comes partly from the French word, which means drawing or sketch.
Okay, yeah. Draw up a plan.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It also means a plain surface. You know, when you have to get some work done, it's nice to have a clean, plain surface. Jesus created a plain surface through his finished work for you to know God.
You know what we say in our kitchen downstairs? We say we clean up to make a mess. Because once we clean up, we're on to the next plan.
Right. That's so good. And the actual word plan comes from the Latin plantare, which means to plant or to fix in place. Mm-hmm. Love's plan. It's all of these things. And this is what the Father did and revealed to us through his Son. So we began last week, we said love's plan, the foundation of God's plan for your life, is that you would know him personally and intimately. Okay? And how do I go from knowing about someone to knowing them personally? And this is so good. It's so simple, but it's so foundational and so necessary. If I want to know God personally, if I want to move from just hearing about him into an actual interaction with him, first I've got to talk to him directly. Not through someone else. I've got to talk to him directly. I've got to hear from him directly, and I've got to esteem him above everyone else. Mm-hmm. We talked about that last week. And I think we ended on Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. I want you to spend some time in those verses today and this week. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, because we see the foundation of our relationship with Christ there. And that was the man who didn't have a covenant with God. He had a loved one who was suffering terribly, and he came to Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm going to come to your house. I'll come and heal him. He said, Lord, just say the word, and it will be done. That's how much he esteemed God. And we want you to know that is all you need for your problems to be solved, is to hear the word of God. It's just that simple. And Jesus is that word.
So good.
Yes. Now, Because this foundation, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, that is the heart of our lives. That's the heart of our walk with God. That's what we're all about. Okay, if you want to understand Highway Church, Matthew 8, verses 5 through 13. That's the heart of what we do. God, you say it, and we got it. You say it, and it's so.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, this foundational esteeming of God, acting on his word, is why Abraham is the father of our faith. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in this series, we're going to look at three relationships or three periods of time. We're going to look at Abraham's relationship with God. We're going to look at the Old Testament church's relationship with God. And we're going to look at the New Testament church's relationship with God. Okay? The New Testament church has its origin in Abraham's relationship with God, mm-hmm. not in the Old Testament church's relationship with God. Very important to understand that.
That's good.
We're going to look at, get into that more, but let's start with Abraham, okay? So there are many things we can learn from Abraham, and of course, we could spend a whole lot on any one of these three relationships. But Abraham is very important because he based everything he did, starting at age 75, he based everything he did on what God said.
So good.
There were no stone tablets. There was no Mount Sinai. There was no Levitical priesthood.
Sacrifices.
No Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. It was a relationship. He was 430 years before that. It was simply based on what God had said to him, and this is the intimacy we want to help cultivate in your life, okay?
I think that point is often missed, that the New Testament experience, what did you say? Its foundations are in Abraham.
Abraham, yep.
How about that?
Very
its
important.
Foundations are
not
there.
Moses.
That's good.
Yeah, not the Levitical priesthood. No, that's important. But our foundation, actually, Abraham is the father of our faith, not Moses.
That's right. Very you know, we homeschool our children. We only have one left, but we've been studying about Abraham. And the pattern that we see in it is that God does the initiating.
Yeah.
Comes
sure
to Abraham.
Does. He sure does.
He makes a promise.
Yes.
And then Abraham responds to that promise.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that over and over and over again. Initiates a meeting, makes a promise, and then Abraham rightly responds to that promise. And so it's very simple. This is what you're saying. Encourage us to do.
So good. So good.
We didn't start this thing.
No, it is. It's God's initiative. He loved us first.
Right.
Now, before we're going to go to Genesis chapter 12, but before we go there, I'm just going to give you a real quick summary of mankind from Adam to Abraham, okay? Just to give us some context. Okay, so we're going back all the way. If we go back to the beginning, a quick review before Abraham.
Before Abraham.
Okay, and then we're going to start in Genesis 12 where God speaks to Abraham. So in Genesis 1, God created man in his image, and he created a paradise for man to live in. We see the will of God clearly in Genesis chapter 1, 2, in chapter 3 as well. Man was created whole with nothing missing, nothing broken. There were no storms in the earth, no crime, no plagues. It was paradise. And God made man to work together with him. Mm-hmm. He blessed him. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue, have dominion over the earth. Psalm 115, verse 16 says, God gave the earth to man. Okay, very important to understand that. God gave man authority, sovereignty over the earth. Okay, but Satan was in the earth. That's why God said, subdue and have dominion. In other words, I want to give you the responsibility to ensure that my will is done on planet Earth, okay? Now, we know what happened. Man chose to reject hearing from God. He chose to reject believing God and having a relationship with God because he listened to the wrong voice. He put his faith in darkness. He put his faith in Satan. He believed things about God that were twisted. And as a result, he separated himself from God. That was in chapter 3 of Genesis. And that's when everything changed on the earth. That's when the curse of sin came upon the earth. That's when murder entered into the human race, Cain and Abel. That's sickness, disease, all of the junk that we see in the earth today came through that separation from God, okay? Now, so from Adam to Noah, we're talking about 1,000 years, okay? So Noah was about 3,000 B.C., just to give you a kind of a context before what happened before Abraham. And then there's about 500 years there from 3,000 B.C. to 2,500 B.C., about 500 years, where man's heart becomes so hard and becomes so wicked that mankind is about to destroy each other, and God has to rescue mankind, and he does it through Noah, okay? And we see the flood take place in 2,500 B.C., and then about 400 years after that, in 2,100 B.C., we see the Tower of Babel. Again, man's arrogance rises up. They decide we don't need God. Right. We can do what we can do this. We've got this. And, you know, and again, God has to rescue mankind. That's basically the story of the Bible. Yeah. Man hardens his heart, God rescues him. Man hardens his heart, God rescues him. Right. Okay, and this is where Abraham comes on the scene. Okay, just a little few minute review there. So in Genesis chapter 12 now, it's about 2100 B.C., about 2,000 years before Jesus comes on the scene, all right? And it's about over 400 some years before the Ten Commandments are brought into the earth, okay? So here's Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abraham," to Abram, excuse me, "go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." Now, in Joshua 24, it tells us that Abraham's father worshiped other gods. Mm-hmm. So for 75 years, Abraham grew up in a pagan tradition,
yeah,
worshiping other gods.
You know, people make a mistake when they think the Bible is just about a religion.
Sure.
In other words,
right,
there were other religions in the
oh,
earth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People were worshiping all kinds of stuff, you know, and that's in the Bible. Idols,
oh, yeah,
and sacrifices.
Sure. Sure.
And
sure.
So we recognize here's one, Abram,
mm-hmm,
who is one of those people. All kinds of worship is established in the earth by these,
yeah,
you know, so... I mean, that's what people do. We worship.
So, yeah, yeah.
And if
we're all worshiping someone or something.
God,
absolutely.
Yeah, we worship what we do now.
Sure.
You know, but
yep,
Abram was worshiping what his father did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and it's important to kind of, that's why I kind of went back to the timeline.
It's good.
We can read the Bible
it's
very
helpful.
Quickly and miss
the context
what's
yeah.
happening. I try and put myself there as much as I can with my imagination, but through the Holy Spirit. But here's a man who's been living 75 years in a pagan culture.
Right.
Worshiping other gods. His dad was leading this thing. All right, so he grew up in a pagan home, worshiping other gods. His dad is worshiping other idols. He was trained in it for 75 years. But underneath that, we know from the New Testament that he had a heart for God. He really wanted to know God. God speaks to him in the midst of this pagan family, this pagan culture, 75 years of living, and Abraham responds.
Amen.
That's a big deal.
It's a
talk
big deal.
About counterculture.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'm telling you, I got to make this point again. We make such a mistake when we think people are walking around like, not worshiping things. They were worshiping stuff.
We're all worshiping someone.
That is what
or something.
We do.
That's what we do.
And we worship something else until we meet God. Hopefully,
that's so
when
true.
We meet God,
that's so true.
Like Abram, we go, oh, Like, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
Right? But we make such a mistake. We think people were just blank in the Bible.
Right,
not,
right.
You know, just not. But they were committed.
They're just like you and me.
They were committed.
They're just
to
like
the
you and me.
That they were committed to.
Absolutely.
They were giving time to gods and idols and such
sure,
and so forth.
Absolutely.
And we just have to realize that that's no different, no matter how many years ago.
That's right.
It's just the nature of us.
That's right.
And so Abram was one of those, just like anybody else, who did not know God, worshiping strange things.
So true.
And
so
then
true.
He met God.
So true.
So good.
So kind of put yourself there. Yeah. I mean, my goodness, 75 years of pagan worship.
Yeah.
Your own dad, your own family, you're surrounded by it. You're immersed in it.
Yeah.
But underneath that all, you're kind of like, I want to know God. And then God speaks to you, and you respond. But it's a big deal now, because God's not going to, he wants to get you out of that mess.
Yeah.
He's not going to leave you in that mess, because you're not going to know him in the midst of confusion and worshiping other gods. You got to come out from that.
You had to come out.
So that's a big decision Abraham had to make, Abram at that point,
yeah,
right? Uh-huh. Okay, and God said, I want you to walk away from all of it.
Yeah.
Whoa! Whoa!
Mine says, get thee out.
Get thee out, baby, yeah. Verse 2. He says, I want you to go forth from, get thee out from your country, from your relatives, and I will make you a great nation. Whoa. And I will bless you.
Yeah.
Come on. And make your name great. This is what it's to do in your life.
Come on.
And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I mean, this is off the charts.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about, you know, a spiritual word. This is it. Yeah. I mean, you've got to receive this with your heart. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, your mind's going to be, huh? Right? And then verse 4, he says, so Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him.
As the Lord had spoken.
That's the key.
That's everywhere in the Bible.
As the Lord. So the Lord spoke to him.
Yeah.
He left the pagan culture, his own family, and he went.
Mm-hmm. As the Lord had spoken.
Yeah, yeah. Now, stay with me. This is so good. This is so good. He went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. He departed from his homeland. And Hebrews tells us he didn't even know where he was going.
Nope.
So he wasn't on Zillow looking for a house.
No.
He wasn't talking to realtors.
No.
He didn't even know where he was going, guys. Listen, when God speaks to you, nothing else matters. You don't have to know the details. All you need to know is that he spoke. And then you act on that. You let him fill in the details as necessary. This is how powerful the word of God is. God speaks, and that's all I need to know. And this is why so many are frustrated. They're trying to figure life out, and they're living in the realm of the intellect. They've got to know all the details. They've got to understand intellectually everything. It doesn't work that way. The spiritual life is based completely on the word of the Father. What has he said? We want to cultivate this in you more than ever before, because we are living in the last days. If you want to experience the power of Christ, it is solely based on what he has said.
You have come upon a big, big principle, Joseph. This is it.
This is it.
And
this
you
is
know,
the whole of life.
Many years ago, I was reading through the Old Testament, and I was struck by how many instances it says, as the Lord had spoken, as the Lord had spoken. And not only that, there are instances where it says, as they spoke, the meaning coming back to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Things happen in our lives either according to what the Lord has spoken or according to what we have spoken when it's different. But when it is the same, when we speak the same thing that the Lord has spoken, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're going to move. You know, now we're going to have some things happen.
Momentum.
You know, but just if you are interested in that challenge, I enjoyed that many years ago, reading through the Old Testament and seeing how many times underlined, as the Lord has spoken. Mm. And then in the New Testament, we have as he believed or as she believed.
So good.
And you know
so
that we
good.
Speak what we believe.
That's
so
good.
You
That's
know,
so
this
good.
Is the crux of, it really is, of walking with him, this what the Lord has spoken and how we respond to it.
Mm.
It's good.
Simplify, everybody.
Simplify.
Really. Our relationship with Christ is so simple. Religion has made it impossible. But forget all that. Like Kevin reminded us, take the religious goggles off, the headphones, and just bring it back to what he said.
Yeah.
And live there. Just like the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. All I need to know is you said it, and it's so.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. So Abraham entered into righteousness by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he couldn't be born again yet because Christ hadn't come. And that's what Abraham was looking for. We're going to see that. He was looking for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But he entered into a righteousness by faith. Righteousness was credited to him. We're made righteous in the New Testament.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it was credited to Abraham because he forsook everyone else's word.
Yeah.
And accepted the word of the Lord.
And
Romans chapter 4 tells us about this. Says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to believe God.
It is. It is.
There's nothing shallow about it. Nothing. It's deeper than anything you've ever known. When I believe what he said,
yeah.
In other words, I absolutely base my life on it. Then I begin to experience
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I just kind of nod to it casually, I'm not going to experience it.
No.
When Abraham based his life on what God said to him,
mm-hmm.
And so do we today, Highway Family.
Yeah.
The whole of our life is what he said. So Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Powerful.
Yeah.
That's Romans 4,
yeah.
verse 3. Now, talk about timeline. Look what Jesus said in John 8 about Abraham. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
What?
Abraham was looking for Jesus, and he actually met him. We're going to get to that. Stay with us. Then the Jews said to him, now this
what?
Is, again, this is 2,000, 2,100 years after Abraham. They're like, you're
what?
Nuts, man. You're nuts. The Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? You are cuckoo, man.
What? That's right.
I love what Jesus said to them. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hallelujah.
So
I love I am. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
He transcends every argument.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Forget about the arguing. Just embrace I am.
Mm-hmm.
He is I am. He's the answer. He's everything you're looking for. Just throw it all down and embrace him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Hebrews verse 8 says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going.
Yeah.
Listen to me, guys. We are living by faith. And there are times when God will speak to you. You will not understand how it's going to happen. You won't know the details of it. All you will know is that he said it. This is the intimacy we want to help you cultivate and experience in your life. If God has said it, I don't have to know the where. I don't have to know the when. I don't have to know the how. I don't have to know anything else. All I've got to know is he said it because he is I am. And this is what is missing so much in the modern day church. is this simple, foundational intimacy with God. He said it, and it doesn't matter what anyone else said, because he said it, it's my reality. Hallelujah. It's so good. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, verse 9, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob and heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 17, chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Abraham was looking for God's salvation. He was looking for a life built by God. He was looking for the Messiah. And God creates an illustration for all of us that was unforgettable. He asks Abraham to sacrifice the very thing that God promised him, his own son.
You know, and as we said earlier, the pattern had been that God initiated contact, made a promise, and then Abraham responded.
That's
in
right.
In this instance, God didn't necessarily, in this instance, make a promise. He required something of
after
Abraham.
He made the promise, though. But after he made the
but
promise.
But he has this history of promise after promise after promise after promise.
Right.
And then God comes and says, I'm asking something of
right,
you.
Right.
And because he believed,
yeah.
when he got to the place where of full obedience, ready to sacrifice that son,
yeah.
he had every assurance that God was going to somehow make this situation right, even though he hadn't yet. This seemed contrary, is what I'm saying. This seemed contrary to the promise he had said before.
If you didn't know the promise, right.
But he was so believing in God.
So good.
He
so
knew
good.
That somehow God would come through.
God will never ask anything of you without making a promise to you
so
first.
So good.
Because it's through the promise that you're able to go forward with what he's asked of you. I hope you just heard that.
That's good.
What did God promise Abraham? I'm giving you a son. And through
him,
that son,
yeah.
all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Abraham built his life on that.
That's right.
And that's why verse 17 says, he who had received the promises.
Received the promise.
Offered up his only begotten
That's
son.
Exactly right.
Why? Because he knew God was faithful.
And
it tells us that right here in Hebrews. We don't have
so
to
good.
We don't have to reason about
nope,
this.
It's right here. What a great chapter.
Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Okay, so God already promised him, through your son are going to come nation.
Right.
A whole nation of God. So verse 19, we know what was happening when God spoke to Abraham. The Bible tells us right here, concluding, Abraham concluded that God was able to raise up Isaac even from the dead.
Come on.
From which he also received him in a figurative sense. In other words, if you look back in Genesis, we're not going to go there for time's sake, Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, Abraham said to the men that were with him as he was going up to offer his son sacrifice, he said, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and return to you.
He fully expected that
no matter what, his
Isaac
son was going to live.
Back with him. That's exactly
even
right.
even if he had to die, he was going to come back to life. Because God promised.
I know. And had there been any resurrection come back to life to this
nope.
point?
None nope.
that we recorded. No. So he, in his believing, was imagining virtually impossible things because God had said. You know, he is there imagining things he hadn't yet seen. He hadn't seen somebody raised from the dead, and yet he was sure that this virtually impossible thing, a resurrection, would occur, and that his son would go back to where they were. It's just so, so, so amazing what believing God enables you to do.
Nothing is impossible when you simply believe him. No matter what it looks like, you win when you choose to believe him.
And your thoughts can expand.
Come on, New Testament Church.
Your thoughts expand into
God's
thoughts.
Come on, New
Testament.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Come on, Highway Family.
And in his reasoning, he thought of resurrection, and then there it was. God was like, that's good, because that's what I'm going to do with Jesus. You know, like he, with his believing, he came into love's plan, Joseph. With Abraham's believing, he was able to conceive or understand. He, by believing, see, it says that in believing we understand. So Abram, he believed, and then his mind and reasoning was able to come into the realm of what God was thinking.
Many are trying to understand before they believe.
Right, and that's not
Boy, that's
works.
A dead end. That is a frustrating hamster wheel right
when
there.
When you believe, now then your mind can open and expand to understand what God is even talking about.
Man. God doesn't ask us to figure him out and
nope.
then believe.
Nope.
He just says, believe.
That's right.
Believe on me. Stop trying to figure him out. Just accept him.
Come on.
He's everyone you're looking for. The understanding comes after you believe. Because believing opens us up
right.
to
that's
his
exactly
thoughts,
right.
to his plan,
that's exactly
to
right.
his will, to his purpose. But it doesn't come until you believe. Faith is where it's at.
Yeah.
Knowing him, trusting him, yeah. acting on his word.
Okay, so see what I'm saying here is God did not come to Abraham and say, okay, I promise you that I will resurrect your son. He did not give a direct promise to this incident. He just asked something of Abraham, and in believing, Abraham again entered into what God wanted him to ultimately see and believe, and that is that he can do the impossible, and not only can he will and wants to, and so good, and he will fulfill his promise.
What was in the heart of God? He was painting a picture for us of the coming of his son. That sacrifice that where Abraham was, that was in the region of Moriah, Mount Moriah, the same place where the cross of Christ was put in the ground. God was foretelling us that I am going to give my son as the real sacrifice so that all of the nations of the earth can be blessed.
Hallelujah.
If you'll learn to read the Bible through the heart of God, you will see from the beginning and from the fall, God is prophesying his salvation into the earth. He's telling man, even though man was so hard, he's telling, I'm bringing my son into the earth. I'm bringing my son into the earth. Salvation is coming through my son. Look to me. I've prepared salvation for you. And Abraham models this very simply and very beautifully for us. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So good. Now I want to finish this up here. Abraham, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Abraham modeled this foundational, uncluttered, based on what God said, relationship that we want to cultivate. Now, thank God, we're on the other side of the resurrection.
Yeah.
We're filled with the Spirit of God. We're made righteous. We're born again. But what I want to share with you is that Abraham met Jesus. Come on, this is reality, guys. A guy walked away from pagan worship, from a dad who was lost and a family who was lost, and stepped into a whole new way of living. And he began to worship the true and living God. And Jesus appears to him again in a difficult situation. Abraham's family needed delivered. Jesus delivered his family, and Jesus appears to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 14 as Melchizedek, someone who had no. Let's read about it. Let's read about it. Let's see. I'm going to try and summarize this quickly. But he appears to him as Melchizedek. And Hebrews tells us this Melchizedek had no genealogy. He had no beginning, no end. He was the king of shalom, wholeness,
right.
Righteousness. This was Jesus. He appears, he delivers Abraham. Let's start in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 7. And this is, again, this we're talking about Abraham's relationship with God. He modeled this for us. This is where the New Testament church finds its origin, in the relationship God had with Abraham. That's why he's the father of our faith. Verse 1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth, that's the word tithe, gave a tenth part of all. That's powerful. This is faith in action,
that's
guys.
Right.
He gave 10%, tenth of all that he had, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, shalom, without father, without mother, without genealogy, talking about Melchizedek, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Jesus, who met Abraham before Abraham was, I am, Abraham sees him. And what does Abraham do? He looks at what he has and he tithes it to him. He gives him 10%. That's a big deal. He didn't just hand him something. He took inventory of all he owned and he parceled out 10%.
Yes.
This is the father of our faith. This is very specific. That faith is specific, guys. There's nothing random about faith. There's nothing random, I guess, is the best word. It's pointed.
Yes,
it's,
it
directed.
It's directed.
It's focused. Mm-hmm. It's specific.
Right.
Bible faith, Abraham faith, New Testament church faith. Okay? So he looked at everything he had. Why? He's responding to this salvation, this deliverance. And I look at everything I have.
Oh,
I'm giving you 10% of it because of who you are and what you've done in my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth, verse 4, of the spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, now we're fast forwarding to the Levitical priesthood, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people. You're going to see this principle is in Abraham's relationship. It's in the Old Testament church relationship. It's in the New Testament church relationship. Okay? That the Levites had a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them, Jesus didn't come from the Levites, he came from the tribe of Judah. He received tithes from Abraham and blessed him. This is a perpetual relationship with Jesus. Okay, so important.
So it shifted.
He wasn't a Levite.
The tithe didn't go to the Levites.
Uh-uh.
He received a tithe as...
Yes.
A worshiper, actually, Judah.
In the Old Testament, the Mosaic covenant went to the Levites.
He's the priest.
In the Abrahamic covenant, the New Testament covenant, it goes to Jesus.
Glory to God.
Got to see that. We're going to see that more and more as we go. This is a vital part of intimacy with God. You've got to know that. It's counterculture, even in the church, but you've got to know this is an intimacy. What I do with my money, it expresses what I believe.
Exactly.
In our marriage, what we do with our money expresses our love towards one another, or what we value.
What we value.
Right? Mm-hmm. Same thing in our relationship with God. So he didn't, this genealogy, it's not derived from the Levites. It was given unto Jesus. So Jesus received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser, Abraham, is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there, Jesus receives them,
yes.
Of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Guys, this is so powerful.
The whole teaching right there.
I tell you, I mean, this is just,
so
this is blessing upon blessing. Yeah. We are building, laying down truths here that will absolutely change your life. And I want to encourage you, and this began growing in me when the bombing of Hamas on Israel hit, is love's plan.
Yeah.
It's like a highway church, body of Christ. We really need to wake up. We really need to open our eyes to the reality of his love for us. Mm-hmm. We really need to understand how he set this up. The plan he's purposed. We are God's plan,
yes,
in the earth.
Yes, we are.
So we've got to work together, Highway family. We've got to live by faith. Mm-hmm. We've got to do what we do by faith. And I bring that up because here we are, 2023. It's not 2100 BC.
No.
It's 2023, almost 4,000 years later.
Yes.
Than when God called Abraham, and God wants to bring his salvation into the earth. This is why we started Highway Church.
Yeah.
I want to call you out from religion. I want you to forget everything you've known about CHURCH, and I want to call you into intimacy with the one who made you. Tithing is a vital part of that. This is modeled for us from Abraham on. And now in the New Testament, here we are, Highway Family, 2023, Ephesians tells us that God gave gifts to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So we're in that fivefold ministry. What's our responsibility? To strengthen you, to equip you with the revelation of the finished work of Christ. And that's what we endeavor to do every time we gather, is to build you up, to strengthen you in who you are in Christ, what he's done for you. All right. Now we got to live by faith to do that.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to tell you, you're not even going to hear the stuff I've been through. I've shared with people a teeny tiny bit of what I've been through.
So good.
But I don't need to talk about all that because God's so good. But I'm just telling you, we're living by faith. Okay. And I have been since 1985, really, 86, 87. But it is a living by faith. And when God calls someone into the ministry, you got to do it by faith.
Yes, you do.
Because he set up a system. What's our responsibility? To give our whole selves to him and to receive revelation from him by his Spirit through the word that's going to make you strong, that's going to help you in your personal relationship with him to know him more. And as the church, then what would be my responsibility as someone who attends Highway Church? To receive that word.
Right.
To grab a hold of that revelation, right? And not just, oh, that was nice, but I'm like on edge of my seat because I'm stirring this up in my life every day.
Right.
I've got this vibrant edge of my seat relationship with Christ personally. I'm looking for the revelation of Christ when I read the Bible. I'm talking to him. I'm hearing from him. I'm filled with his Spirit. You know, I'm running after Christ, and I come ready to Highway. I'm coming ready to hear and to eat and to grow strong. So my part as a member of Highway Church would be to receive what the gifts are bringing, the fivefold ministry bringing, and then respond to that throughout the week, meditating on it, writing down the scriptures, acting on them.
Now we're back to what we started with Kevin and Sarah about this,
yeah,
like-minded
so good
faith and this relationship. What can we do,
yeah,
when we join together?
Yeah.
What can we do when we come together,
yeah,
with our resources and mm-hmm. our and everything we have, all,
yeah,
that God supplies us, we
absolutely
supply to one another.
Absolutely. So this is a flow. This is a relationship between apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, and then as a member of my church, I tithe. I bring my tithes to my church because mm-hmm. that's where I'm being fed.
Yeah.
That's where I'm getting that revelation of Christ. That's where God's called me, right? So we want to encourage you, Highway family, just get in, jump in, grab a hold of this fresh, hot Jesus that we're bringing to you every time we gather, and embrace the revelation of Christ. Meditate in it, act on it, grow in it, and respond Okay? We want to encourage you, just like your father Abraham, to tithe the Lord. Bring your tithes into the storehouse. Bring your tithes into Highway Church. It's living by faith. You've got to live by faith. We've got to live by faith. But when we do it together, now God can do what he's purposed to do through us.
That's right.
It takes all of us working together with love's plan.
Yes, it does.
God can't do it without us working together. Isn't that amazing?
It's true.
There's things he wants to do right now through Highway Church. He can't if we're not flowing together.
That's right.
He's limited to us whether or not we choose to live by faith. Mm-hmm. That blows the religious mind. So we are encouraging you to receive the word, to be hot, to be just brawl out for Jesus, and to bring your tithes when we gather. Sow that 10% into Jesus, into the kingdom of God through Highway Church. And watch what God does. I'm telling you, we have been doing this for decades now, and it just thrills us to bring unto the Lord, to take inventory of what we've got and love him with 10% and more, and sow offerings on top of that on a weekly, regular basis. We want to invite you into this intimacy. We want to exhort you to live by faith, to go all in, because God wants to do things in these last days through Highway Church, but he won't be able to do that unless we're on the same page, unless we get with the plan.
Get with
love's plan. Okay? We're taking time. This is so good. We're going to continue next Sunday, and we're going to get into the Old Testament church. We start with Abraham's relationship with God. We're going to look at the Old Testament church's relationship with God, and then the New Testament. And I'm telling you, you will never be the same. It's so good, all right? You can worship the Lord with your tithes, with your offerings, very simply through highwaychurch.us. God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of his goodness, who he is, what he's done for you, and who you are in him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life he came to give you.